Okay. Hi. My name is Nisha Tweed Bell, and I am 37 years old. Today is September 7th, 2019, and we are in sunny, beautiful Los Angeles, California. I am interviewing Christina J. Pyle, who is a longtime friend, colleague, and advocate of mine.
Should I introduce myself? Yeah, I'm going to do that. Hi, my name is Christina Pyle. I'm 35 years old. Today's date is sometime in September. The location is Los Angeles, California, at the JW Marriott LA Live in downtown. The name of my interviewer is Nisha Tweed Bell, and she is a close friend and a creative collaborator of mine. I can speak English.
You'll get it.
Would you like me to redo that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Will I start asking questions, or would you like to start asking questions?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Just steep us in where we are.
Okay. So we met maybe in 2007, mm-hmm. right, at Ogilvy, an ad agency in New York. I remember you being in a space that was kind of like a dungeon, okay. and it was very late, and walking by and being like, holy crap, there's another black girl. And at that time, there were so few of us that you noticed that. And over the years, we've become so, you know, such great friends. You recently were saying that you remembered meeting me, but not necessarily when or how, but the way it made you feel. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. I remember meeting you 10 years ago. And I remember, like, the first... I remember feeling that you left an impression on me. And a couple of the thoughts about you was, wow, this girl, she's young in her career, but she's so confident. She's kind of unapologetic, which is really cool. And I feel no competitive energy from her. And you just made me feel like there's a safe space in you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're somebody I'm going to know for a long time. And I think my instincts are right.
You're very, really right. Except for the confidence part. I'm kind of a mess. But
That's not true.
The competition thing I thought was really interesting, especially that as we've gone through our careers, we have taken very different paths, mm-hmm. but yet we've constantly come back together and we find ways to work together, to advocate for each other and to celebrate each other. What do you think, like, what is it about you that makes that doing those types of things important?
Well, I think that the no competition feeling between us is rare between women. I think it's rare between women who are two of the onlyest and the loneliest in the company. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking at each other and thinking, there's only room for one of us, I think you and I looked at each other and said, there's power in numbers. And being able to have that type of wherewithal at a young age has been able to foster this amazing career of, like, reverse mentorship and support over the years and calling each other mm-hmm. out. Calling on each other. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an encouragement to other women. I think there's a whole system designed to make us feel like there's only space for one.
Yeah.
As people of color or even as women.
Yeah.
And not subscribing to that. I don't know. I give credit to the green young versions of us.
Yeah. We were pretty awesome. I think one of the things that's really nice as well is that you as a person love to build people up and celebrate people. And, like, you know, I feel like sometimes you come to me and you just, like, start telling me things about mm-hmm. myself that are really great. And you articulate them in such a way that I'm like, oh, I should put this on my resume.
Yeah.
Where do you get that energy from? Like, is that how you are with everybody, or am I just extra special to you?
I mean, you know, you've always been special to me. You're like somebody I fear and revere. I love. It makes no sense that we're this close. The Aries.
You're an Aries, which is terrible.
I think, you know, my dad was very positive and really saw the good in people. And it's just the lens at which I see people and just feel compelled to tell them about themselves in that moment, and the things shining through that they may not see in themselves. But in your case, you see that. I could articulate it, and I think that's a gift. I think it is a gift. Sometimes I can't do that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I surround myself with people who can uplift me and pour into me when I've poured everything out into other people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really interesting. What is it you think that stops you from being able to celebrate how great you are and vocalize that?
I think it's having like tough parents and grandparents. Yeah. Like, let's keep it moving.org. Yeah. Like, let's, yeah. Like, yeah. Do you really have, my mom was tough on us. It's like, that's a great achievement.
Yeah.
But we've got to keep going. Yeah. I think that's a shared immigrant experience. I think it's an experience of parents that didn't come from a lot.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't immigrants. Yeah. So a sense of not being able to stop and celebrate my achievements, but also knowing I need that. I need that celebration. So I look to those people.
Okay.
I look for those reinforcing people.
That's great. I love that you brought up the immigrant thing, because as an immigrant, even before I came to America, mm-hmm. being in high school in the Caribbean, I remember I always wanted my parents to tell me they were proud of me, and they never did. And it was really frustrating to me, because I did really well in school, and I had all these other extracurriculars, and my mom just kind of always said, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Do you want a cookie?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think that the challenge in that is that when I then came to work, I gave my all, and I constantly over-delivered and whatever, because I think I was still looking for that validation, but mm-hmm. also still feeling like I don't deserve that validation. Mm-hmm. So when somebody like you compliments me or tells somebody else, like, oh, here's how great Nisha is, here's what she's doing, it actually makes me feel really, really uncomfortable. And
yes,
you have taught me so much and helped me kind of figure out how to bring that to other people. I'm curious about when it comes to work and just like thinking about over delivering and like putting so much of yourself into it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel like you fit on that spectrum, and what is it that motivates you?
I am motivated by the kind of spending my gifts,
mm-hmm.
About feeling like exhausted at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's kind of critical, again, I say, to surround myself with people who will like pour back into me. Ask me your question again.
How do you feel when it mm-hmm. comes to, I know you over deliver,
mm.
right? I know that's how mm-hmm. you are. You are a game changing person. Mm. You were at AdColor for 12 years and created the conference and turned it into a beautiful, wonderful, just thriving, magical day. And I've, worked with you. I've been up with you at midnight kind of helping with stuff. But I want to understand, like, is that just your base? Or are you, like, constantly pushing yourself to do more when you think about what you're giving into your job?
Well, I think I feel a sense of urgency,
mm-hmm.
Especially around the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some people who right now are, like, very resistant to change. And you can understand. You can understand they want this to move incrementally. There's another group that's like, we have waited so long, and you and I represent that community that yeah. actually wants to see change happen now and needs it. Sometimes it's life-saving. It's critical. When you're talking about the LGBT community, when you're mm-hmm. talking about safety around women in the workplace, even issues around pay equity, representation, these are urgent. So I think you can see that in my process. My work process has a bit of an urgency to it, and that is born out of the work that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the work that I do is born out of the people and the constituencies. And this is urgent, it's personal, it's life-saving, and so that pours into the work. And the pushing, you're constantly pushing yourself, is because you feel the people that you're representing.
And it's really important work that you're doing.
Yeah.
How do you, being so passionate about this and being so personally connected to the work that you do, how do you take care of yourself? Like, how do you keep yourself from burnt out?
Oh, girl. I like to travel. You know this about me. I think traveling is the best return on investment for how you can spend your money. And if you can buy happiness, you can't buy happiness. But if you were to buy happiness, happiness would look like travel.
Mm-hmm.
And travel is about the anticipation and the planning. There's joy in that. There's joy in the actually being on your trip. And then there's joy on the memories that you pull from after the trip. So one way that I get away and restore myself is travel everywhere. And there's so many places. I'm not somebody who goes back. You know, there's a philosophy of some people who want to travel and see something new and different.
Yeah.
And then there's a philosophy to go back to where you've been and you love and drill down deeper.
Yep.
I don't know where I've landed yet on that.
I think you're more go to as many different places as possible.
Yeah.
And eat as much different food as possible.
Oh yeah. Like, I spend my paycheck on food.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks I ball up my paycheck and I just eat it.
Delicious.
I do like a massage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put that in a category of luxury. I put it in a category of wellness.
Yes, I love that.
Nisha, tell me some of the ways that you, because you are tireless, you're relentless, you have a Virgo work ethic. You don't have a position in life, you have a purpose.
Ooh, I like that. I'm gonna put that on my resume.
So tell me. How do you refill when your cup is low?
So here's what's really interesting. After having my son last year, I feel like I suddenly became a human. And before, I had no end. You know what I mean? Like there was never anything I felt like I couldn't do. If I wanted to do it, I found a way to make it happen. And I made whatever sacrifices I needed to make. I asked for whatever help I needed, but I made stuff happen. And then after I had the baby, I physically couldn't do that anymore. And then mentally, my brain just kind of mushed up, became like alphabet soup. I don't feel like I'm as smart as I was a year and a half ago, to be honest.
I don't see that.
Which is tough. But so having now this pressure of having a job and having a child and having a husband and a household and all of these things that I have to manage, I actually had to admit my limits. And I saw my limits, I had to admit them, and then I had to figure out how to work within them. And one of the things that I really had to start prioritizing was taking care of myself and making space for myself. So I do facials every month, and I block off.
It actually shows.
Thank you. My skin is glowing.
Yeah, very tight.
I actually block off time at work. And so like a Wednesday morning or a Thursday morning, I go into work, put my stuff down, and then I go do this facial. So it's not taking outside of my home time. I do massages every other month, and I go to sleep. I know that sounds crazy, but like I never used to sleep either.
No, sleep is a weapon.
Yeah.
It's a weapon.
So now that I sleep, like last week, I went to sleep about 8 o'clock every night. I woke up at 4, but I went to sleep at 8. And just being able to admit that I can't do everything and I'm not going to be perfect, which is such a hard thing for a Virgo, has really helped me kind of then reclaim some of my time and some of myself.
Nisha, tell me something about you that I don't know. I know a lot.
You do know a lot about
me. I have receipts.
We are... Oh. Don't share. I don't know, Christina. I feel like we are very, we're actually very open, and you're one of the few people that I feel like I can be my authentic self with all the time. Mm. And I really appreciate that. Something about me that you don't know. That's a really hard question. You should have prepped me for it. Why don't you tell me something first?
I have these like secret fantasies of just quitting.
Mm.
And opening a B&B, not an Airbnb, opening up
a bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And running it from designing it to picking out the menu, even helping to cook.
Ooh.
And I think I could see it being in Morocco, some Riyadh in Morocco. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So one day I might just up and leave.
Yeah.
Just letting everybody know.
Well, what about all the passion and purpose in the things that you're doing? What about the people?
I will pour into the people in my bed and breakfast.
Okay. So tell me about a time, looking back in the past 5 years, 10 years, you felt like you were on your game, you're doing it, you're killing it. How, like, tell me, like, what that time was, what that time frame was, like, what moment you've experienced that, but then also, how do you think you can bring that energy into your new role at Time's Up?
Okay. Wow. I, you know, it's interesting that we are right now at the Ad Color Conference, because last year at this time, that is when I felt it all come together in terms of speaking and representing the organization and having the right speakers in place and owning the logistics and having plans in place for anything that could go wrong and having contingencies for contingencies and feeling just really empowered, present. And that's when people see you. That is when people see you. And this is a time where the organization, Ad Color, is getting so many yeses.
Mm-hmm.
After years of no's, maybes, not this time, budgets are low,
mm-hmm.
we are getting all of the yeses.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like this is a career-defining moment.
Yeah.
And that is exactly when it's time to go.
Yes.
So I find myself in an interesting place, a very uncomfortable place right now of starting over,
mm-hmm.
of building new relationships, stretching into a new role, and getting those no's, those maybes,
mm-hmm.
and having to lean into the muscle of building again.
Yeah.
And it is exciting. It's terrifying. It's uncomfortable. And somebody wise this morning told me, Nisha, somebody wise this morning told me that that uncomfortable feeling is growth. It is what you should chase after.
Yep.
And I am leaning into it today.
Yes.
Sheryl Sandberg doesn't have to own.
No.
I'm just leaning into it.
That's awesome. I'm very curious. So when you were ready to start your new job and you talked about having to start over, what is something that you kind of said to yourself that you're going to do differently? In this new job, in this new space, as this person that, like, people don't even necessarily know?
Well, I really kind of steeped myself in the idea that what gets you here won't take you there.
Mm.
So what gets you here won't take you there is this idea that you have to pause and understand the new landscape,
mm-hmm.
and understand that what people saw in you is they saw something in you, but that's not what they're hiring you for. And
yeah.
you have to understand what they're hiring you for. And it's another level. It's another level of understanding politics. It is understanding the bigger picture,
mm-hmm.
your responsibility to revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to learn that in the same time I'm trying to learn new teams, new systems, new operating systems. So that's where the discomfort lies.
Mm-hmm,
it's all,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I'm treating it as all new. The relationships I had in the past, and I want to reteach people how to see me.
Yes.
You know, see me how I see myself. And Nisha, tell me about you and this place that you're in right now and where you see yourself in the future.
Ooh. The place that I'm in right now, I'm actually at a really great place. I you know, I love Facebook. I love the work that I'm doing at Facebook. I'm super excited about the team that I've built and the trajectory that we have. It's really, really awesome to be at a point, too, where I'm, like, thinking about, yeah, what am I going to do next? And having it be completely wide open. I've never had that before because in advertising it was you are a junior copywriter, then you're a copywriter, senior copywriter, ACD, like, you know what I mean? There's this, like, clear path and this is all it is. And then now I can literally do anything, and I've had to step back and really ask myself, what are the things that you love doing? What are the things that you can do better than most other people? Mm-hmm. What are you bringing to the table? And articulating that has actually made me feel like damn girl. In a way that I don't know that I had before. And it's bigger than my resume. Like, mm-hmm. I can't write that down. You know what I mean? Like, whenever people are like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I can do anything. What problems do you need solved?
Mm. Mm. I want...
I'm really, really good at looking at a situation, taking a step back and figuring out what are the things that are wrong, immediately how to fix them and how to put in a system to either scale it or to let like have those things never happen again. So I always like I'm quick to say what's wrong. I'm very critical, very Virgo of me. However, my next thought is always, how can we fix this? And how can we fix this in a way that no one has to go through this again, or this isn't a problem again, and that it can like kind of continue
Absolutely.
Moving forward?
I think you definitely begin with the end in mind, mm-hmm. and you think along whatever project you're taking on. You think, what is the legacy of this?
Yeah.
And how can I leave this so somebody else can come in and pick it up and carry it on? And we got to experience that under your leadership with AdColor, and how you transformed the AdColor advisory board and then left a blueprint mm-hmm. for posterity. Mm-hmm. I've seen you do that kind of time and again. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for, see, this is what I said. She's always just kind of like articulating what I do better than I can. What do you think that thing is for you? Like, what's one thing you feel like you can do? Like, this is what I'm bringing to the table here.
I think it's creating a sense of belonging around an event or a project or pulling a team together.
You're really good at bringing people together. I'll say that. I appreciate that about you.
And I think bringing people together is one thing, but making everybody feel like they belong and they have something to contribute
mm-hmm.
is what people have told me.
Mm-hmm.
When I left my former role at Omnicom and AdColor, one of my coworkers at Omnicom said about me, "You are interesting and you're interested."
Mm.
And I was like, whoa, I receive that.
Yes, you put that in your pocket.
And I am truly interested in people and what makes them special and pulling that towards whatever we're doing together.
Yeah. I love that about you. And I think you really are great. Like, you're one of those people that I can take anywhere and you would talk to anybody. I'm not one of those people. I'm like, oh, you were trash. I'm done.
You're like, but no small talk.
Yeah, seriously. But no, you are so great with that. I also think that I've lost my train of thought because you said something crazy. oh, yes. So you're really good at, like, you know, talking to anybody and, like, really asking really good probing questions and that type of thing. However, I find that you also deflect a lot.
Oh, here we go.
And
here we go.
Avoid getting very personal and avoid talking about things that are very close to you or perhaps that make you uncomfortable. I'm not sure what it is. Where do you think that come from?
I think I learned a little bit of that from my mom. I think what you're feeling is a struggle with vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I've like said out loud, and I'm very proud of saying that out loud. I've tried to watch videos about it and talk to friends and say, when do you see and feel me be vulnerable? And I understand it's a leadership superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things when I was talking about what got me here won't get me there. It's something that I know once I understand and can tap into my own vulnerability, I know I can go to a place I haven't even seen yet.
Yeah.
And so when you feel me deflect and not go there, it feels scary. Mm-hmm. Feels, you know, like let's talk about work. Let's talk about the weather.
Yeah.
Let's talk about somebody else.
Yeah. 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 I see that a lot. What do you fear will happen if you are vulnerable?
You know, it's interesting. They say the shoemaker's son has the worst shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part of me that's over here advocating for people to feel and be exactly who they are and as their superpower. And there's you know, I'm still telling myself this. You know, I'm out there telling the world, and I'm still telling myself this. And I'm getting there. It's a game of inches, Nisha. Anything? Would you like to go deeper and expose me? Any? You know?
I'm your friend, and I've told you that this already. Yeah. But I think that it does really make a difference, and I do think that you can get deeper than the surface mm-hmm. if you do open up some more of these things and show some more of yourself and. Yeah. Let other people in. And I think that that will ingratiate people to you. One of the kind of life-changing things that happened to me at Facebook was when Sheryl Sandberg came back for the first All Hands after her husband died. And it was the first time I had seen her speak kind of, you know, in person, and she cried. And I had never seen a woman in power cry. I'd seen my mother cry one time, and it was because she got bitten by a centipede. So, and I was like 7, you know what I mean? So yeah. To see now this super powerful, amazing woman cry in front of the entire company and be so honest about what she was feeling, it changed me. It affected me so deeply, and it made me say, I actually said, you know what? For the next 6 months, I'm going to be as open as possible. And I mean, there's limits on that because, first of all, I'm a Virgo, so I don't really deal with my feelings. Secondly, I'm Caribbean, and we don't tell our business. And then thirdly, I'm, you know, at work, and I believe in separation of church and state. However, you know, I said, let me see what happened. And when I had a miscarriage, I posted about it, and my coworkers, the kind of support that I got and the way that my coworkers took me aside and told me about what they experienced, and people shared so many of their stories, and it gave me so much comfort to know that I wasn't alone and that I could talk about this thing that was really scary and upsetting. And, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I built a lot of relationships on that, and then I also got a lot of currency from that, which is something I just didn't expect. Yeah. So I feel like you can, you know, some of the things we talk about, I think sometimes you bringing some of that to the surface could really be helpful for you in a professional sense as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, little by little, I'm getting there.
What is something right now that makes you vulnerable to talk about? Makes you feel vulnerable when you talk about it?
Well, I mean, I opened up to you this morning about, and I opened up to you this morning in a very vulnerable way about how today made me feel, about being back in a space that I helped architect, but no longer being here as somebody contributing and shaping and doing, but being here in a passive capacity. And so, you know, that made me feel a little powerless. It made me feel not seen.
Mm.
And it was hard. You know, I cried in front of you this morning, and mm-hmm. I opened up about everything. But you know, Ad Color is more than just a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a community. But my family was part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 12 years of contributing to something that's like half my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you're not 24, but okay.
I know. I was like, hope nobody fact checks that. Hope nobody. That's a third of my life. So yeah, I didn't. You know, this morning I would have loved to have that moment privately, but I couldn't, and I had to come to you.
Yeah.
And now I'm saying it on national radio.
Yeah. Now everybody knows. Mm-hmm. That's a step, though.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, especially Black women, we don't talk enough about what's difficult and how we feel and what we're going through. We are constantly put in positions where we have to be quote unquote strong. And that's actually hurting us.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's hurting even in terms of our health.
Yeah.
Higher incidences of heart disease and cancer. And this is, you know, it's a learned behavior. It's mm-hmm. exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was taught to be stoic, and you mentioned not seeing your mom cry. I've maybe seen my mom cry twice. I don't have a recollection of that. So there's, for two women who are wildly different, we have We have shared experiences, and we have we seem to continue to intersect around these passion points.
I think part of it is the passion, right? I think the fact that we care about people, we want to change the world, we want to make things better, that is something I respect about you, and I want to help you to do that. And I think the other thing is the fact that there's a level of mutual, like, I want you to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you mentioned early on about like the lack of competition. We almost have the opposite where I'm like your biggest cheerleader and you're my biggest cheerleader. And we're constantly just kind of like, no, girl, go do it. Go do it. You're the best. Keep going. Like, get out of her way. She's going to come. And I that's so rare.
It's becoming more frequent where I'm seeing this in circles, in circles with women of color, where we're ushering in a new generation of supporting each other and not believing the lie.
Yes.
And not believing, dismissing, dismantling, not believing the lie. So I'm seeing a lot of women support women. It's a
beautiful thing.
We're lucky to be alive right now.
Yo. And I think that sometimes people feel like, well, if I can't get this, then no one else can get this. And that is so destructive. It is so destructive for you as well as for our community.
I have a question for you.
What is your question for me?
There's so many things that you have a huge capacity to care.
And there's love too much.
Yes. And there's so many things that you're passionate about. What is that one focus? If it had to be one focus. And I think I might know this, but In terms of advocating, supporting, helping, pushing culture forward, and helping people.
I love that you asked this because I recently did an exercise a writing exercise that surfaced this, and I had never really understood or articulated in this way. But I want to help young people of color thrive in the workplace.
Boom.
I feel like the energy and the capacity of people of color to be brilliant and excellent, we're not given the same space, we're not given the same time, we're not given the same opportunities, and I want to change that. And I want to not only help uplift these young people and give them the space, time, opportunities, but I also want to change the workplace culture so that they can continue moving and rising and bringing in more people. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we get into a workplace where they bring you in because you're brilliant, and then they ask you to change everything else about yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's not, it's not sustainable.
We love that thing about you. Now come in house and change it all.
Yeah. Yeah. We just want you to be really quiet about it, or do it when a client is present. Mm-hmm. What would your one thing be?
I think it's similar. I really want to transform workplace culture. Mm. You know, we spend 80% of our life at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the employers employ large swaths of people, and people need to feel safe and powerful and equitable. And they need to feel like they belong, and they need all of this, the blocking and tackling I want to do, just so we can get your best talent.
Yeah.
It's your best contributions.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, make America great again is like not preventing people already there from doing their best work.
Right.
I want you always get this question about what do you want in the future? I could say that, but I want you to tell me what you want for me in the future. I want to do the same thing for you.
Oh, good one. Mm. What would I like for you in the future, Christina J. Pyle?
Money.
Lots of money, first of all, that is going to help you have more trips and also help you have less stress. And I truly believe that you need to pay back women. But I also want you to have genuine joy and have those moments where you feel like you can be the fullest version of yourself and express that as often as possible in as many spaces as possible. I feel like as Black people, that's one of the things that we often have to, we have to find safe spaces, mm-hmm. and we have to wait till we're in a small room with specific people, and then that comes out. And I want you to be able to be you just all the time and to experience that and just shine. And that's going to lead to everything. It's going to be great in your relationships with your family, with your job, if you can feel that.
Nisha, for you, I see and I want that support system that you so deserve, that I see our white male counterparts getting.
Mm-hmm.
I want that for you because God knows what you can do and what you can transform and how our world could look if you just have like unfettered support. Mm-hmm. I want you to be surrounded by people like me who will force you to hear your greatness, and I want you to receive it. In the future, I want you to have financial security.
Yes, girl.
And I know how well, I know you will spend it well and wise. I know there'll be wealth management and legacy. And I guess continued love. You have a ton of love around you.
Just I do.
I'm sustained love.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hmm. So what does my friendship mean? What does your sorry.
It's her first time hearing a curse word.
What does our friendship mean to me? I think the best thing is that it's the power of women supporting women, right? And it's the power of sisterhood. It's the power of having somebody believe in you enough to put you up for things, to be honest with you, and to help you. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is something that is very rare. And it's not about like, oh, let's just like sit together and eat ice cream or watch movies or, you know, whatever. It's about, I am genuinely invested in you as a person and as a professional, and I want you to be happy, and I want to see that. And I hope that more women can have that.
What's that word for what's unconditional? Your friendship to me shows up in unconditional love and support. And that's, I really need that feeling. Mm. You're also this accountability system for me. Accountability partner. you're just so honest, and sometimes I don't need that.
A little too much.
I know that when I'm vetting things through you, if you're just going to give me the truth, you're going to push me a little bit further than I wanted to go. And this is, it's just been a relationship unlike I've ever had. And it's definitely not perfect, but it's honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Rapid fire. I got it. Nisha. Yeah.
Yes.
Peanut butter or jelly?
It's a stupid question. Peanut butter. Next.
Okay. Saturday mm-hmm. or Sunday?
Ooh. Sunday. Nope. Lies. Saturday, because Sunday, you get the Sunday scaries before you go to work. You, Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday for sure. It feels like on the precipice of the weekend.
Yeah, the weekend eve.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm living for the weekend.
So, just one last thing. So, Christina, if you could give advice to a young person coming to add color this year or in the future, what would that be?
I always say this. People don't want to hear this anymore from me, but it's on brand. Young person attending Ad Color, I need you to know that your network is your net worth. I'll say it again. Your network is your net worth. So get out there and meet people and meet people on your level, meet people above your level, stay close, build and foster relationships. I would network down people who are younger than you, give them your business card and tell them one day you'll be working for them. And the last thing is that one day your difference is going to make the difference.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Christina, so much for taking the time to talk with me and share with me and to get a little bit vulnerable. I really appreciate this conversation and the time spent with you.
Nisha, you were fresh off of a stage leading a big discussion at Ad Color, but you made time and space for this. It was something important to you. You made me feel like I'm important to you.
You are.
I love you, and I'm forever in your corner.
Cheers to sisterhood.
Woo!